Now, a couple of you might have been around for my diatribe that was horrible last year on the writer's track, where I was less than kind to the author. Obviously, it's kind of a faux pas, so we're going to try to avoid shit-talking Neil James this time around and more or less focus on how her books have enhanced the industry, how it's opened up things for a lot of authors, whether you're small publisher or big publisher or indie or self-published, whatever. We're going to talk about the benefits of what the series has done for you guys in particular who are actually trying to make a living out of writing. Quick show of hands, how many are published writers now in the audience? Show of hands. Awesome. How many want to be? Awesome, too. I'm going to start off with an introduction real quick. My name is, as I said earlier, I'm Sasha Leavitch. I've been published for 15 years under a variety of genres and subgenres of erotica and erotic romance. I am an editor for Ardent Publishing, Sizzler Editions, and I also edit for the fantasy line at Secret Cravings Publishing. That's a new thing for some of you who didn't know. Representation by Marissa Corvisiero Agency and Sarita Hernandez, and publicity by, I think she's going by Paradigm Warriors now, Debbie Riley Magnus. Let's start off with our panelists. Quick introduction, guys, and rock it. Go.
Okay, I don't have a microphone, so I'll just talk semi really loud. I'm Cage Allen.
Thank you.
I'm from Detroit. I write GLBT Lit, mostly humor, not BDSM per se, although I will make fun of it. And a couple of the books that myself and TC Blue and Kiernan and I are in anthologies are up here, Butt Pirates in Space, Butt Ninjas from Hell. We have one coming out in December, Butt Babes in Boyland.
It's a whole series of butthologies.
Yeah. It's all about the butt.
Well, not all. TC Blue, I write for a variety of publishers, including Torqueray Press, Dream Spinner, MLR, Wild City.
Can I help you?
Just tell me to talk louder. That's a signal.
When I need a man to tell me something, I'll marry one of my own. And I'm looking forward to this panel, my first of this year.
She's got one.
Oh.
She's got one in front of her, yeah.
Well, maybe I wanted yours.
Well, I'm Kiernan Kelly. I write mostly MM romance. I do write some horror. I write for a variety of publishers also, the ones that TC Blue mentioned, plus maybe a half a dozen others. I write in almost every subgenre, every theme. I've written BDSM, I've written sci-fi, fantasy, whatever. I've got 13 novels and over 80 shorter works in print.
Hi, I'm Gail Z. Martin. I write epic fantasy for Orbit Books and Solaris Books, Chronicles of the Necromancer, Fallen King Cycle, Sand Kingdom Saga. Newest epic is Reign of Ash from Orbit. I also write urban fantasy for Solaris Books. Newest book is Deadly Curiosities. Two series of short stories, both the Deadly Curiosities adventures and the John Mark Vahanian adventures. And I also work in social media and have written 6 books on social media, including Social Media for Authors.
Thanks. Hey, y'all. I'm Ananda Leela. I live here in Atlanta. Stop laughing at me. I write for a variety of publishers. I write primarily short stories that are BDSM-influenced erotic romance, all with a tantric underpinning.
She's also my personal assistant, proudly, when time allows.
Go ahead. I'm Mary Marvella. I write romance, mostly I write women's fiction. I write sort of vanilla sex, but very sensual, I hope. I have indie published short stories and novels, and I also have, as you can see, I called it romantic suspense. Someone like my editor called it erotic romance. So, you know, sensual or erotic, I don't know. But that's it. Oh, and I edit for Gilded Dragonfly Books.
MJ Flannoy. I write for Sizzler, Aries Editions, romantic suspense, and my editor tells me it's erotica, but I don't know. We'll see. I've always read hot romances, and that's what I call it. But, you know, hey, he wanted to buy it, so who am I to say?
Before we start, I think the show...
We have an announcement real quick. Come up, please.
Oh, I get a mic. Hi. Oh, God, this is loud. I'm Asia Romano. I'm a reporter, the fandom reporter for the Daily Dot, which is, you might know me. I'm also Asia in the fandom, so you might know me from there. And I am part of a group, and we are trying to get together a FanWorks track and advocate for that happening next year in 2015. We really think that we need a FanWorks track, not only because transformative works and new media fandom are becoming more popular all the time, but because right now... Oh, yes, do you have a question? FanWorks. By FanWorks, I mean anything like fan fiction, podfic, fan vids, fan art, any other type of fan work that you might consider something that that fans get together and make collectively or individually. And right now, the fandom tracks are spread all over the place. Like there's the Slash Fiction panel is in the Buffy, the Whedonverse track, the published fan fiction and vice various and sundry are, is in the EFF track. There are numerous fan fiction tracks all over the place. So we want to bring it under one roof, and we want your help to do that. So if you're interested in supporting us in any way, please follow us. You can follow us on Tumblr at fanwork@dc. Or you can follow us on Twitter at FanWorksTrack. So thank you.
Excellent, thank you. The volume down a little bit, please. Oh, okay, cool. Good enough, I guess. So, how do you want to start this off is a question I would have to ask myself.
Well, you're the moderator. I think you should ask us questions.
No, I'm going to let you guys figure them out, actually, because that's what I do. But no, I have... Let's open this up real quick and talk about this for a minute. So I would presume that the room is fully aware of 50 Shades of Grey. Raise your hand if you have not heard of that book. Yeah, but whatever.
Who's read it?
Bunny.
Okay. Who liked
yeah.
it?
Online snippets.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a good idea. It's a good idea actually. So okay, let's start with this. The panel is obviously about how it changed publishing. So. What did it do for publishing?
It made it possible for every idiot with the grasp of a third grade grammar and vocabulary to get a book published.
Okay, I'm going to come at that from a little bit different perspective. I think it did two things. One thing is I think it exposed... from my perspective, suburban housewives to BDSM literature.
But they had Anne Rice.
Yeah, but they hadn't found Anne Rice. You know, I was having a conversation with a guy who was a former Barnes & Noble editor, manager, and he said that it was really funny to him to see the displays that said, if you liked 50 Shades of Grey, you might like, and of course, all of the Anne Rice writing of Anne Rampling books were there. And he said it was fun to watch these, you know, housewives who had read 50 Shades of Grey and thought that was BDSM go start thumbing through some of Anne Rampling's books and watching their heads explode. But I do think it moved that whole area into the mainstream much more than it had ever been before. And now you start hearing people having conversations about handcuffs and bondage and other things that just didn't happen, you know, in suburban coffee clatches. And I think the other thing that it did was it raised the hopes of an awful lot of self-published people that they would sell a million copies online and they too would be discovered by, you know, a big New York publisher and get paid a gazillion dollars. And, you know, the odds of that are up there with winning the lotto, but hey, somebody does win the lotto and it does happen for some people. So I think it shifted both the expectations and it shifted the reading public.
I agree with you up to a point. However, I see it a little bit differently. It started out as Twilight fan fiction.
Yes, absolutely.
So to me, it was stepping on Stephanie Meyer's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is wrong. If it was original fiction from the beginning, it would have been fine and dandy with me. I don't care how poorly it was written. I don't care about any of that. If it found an audience, fine. The other thing that really, really upsets me is that she did no research. She presented this community
irresponsibly.
She took what she had read in other fan fiction and then added in what she presumed to be the way things were,
and presented it in
the fiction. So people who, like you said, it was, you know, first exposed to it for the first time, are thinking this is the way it should be. Somebody's like going to get hurt. Is kind of how I looked at it.
Yeah,
exactly. Because it was really done. I mean, I know when I do a book, I research it, mm-hmm. and the reason is because I know my readers are going to call me on it if I get something wrong. But with 50 Shades, because so many people were totally ignorant of, or innocent, let me put it that way, of the BDSM community and the lifestyle, they're not going to call anybody on it because they're going to believe what they read. Anyway, so that's kind of how I felt about it.
Honestly, I think that was equally the fault of the publisher.
Yeah, also, yes.
Well, that's a marketing, that's really a marketing thing, honestly, because you've got this industry that's marketing, and for those of you who don't know, and you all do or should know by now, because most of you are seasoned at this, that the market ebbs and flows with trends. Back about 15 years ago when I first got into publishing, the big trend was BDSM. Then it kind of petered out for a while and became, you know, the gay thing in erotica. And then it cycled through, and for a short, brief window, there was lesbian erotica that was huge, and it disappeared, and we're all kind of confused about that as well. And then BDSM cycled back again. Do you think that the book itself and the series itself ushered that trend back in?
I think one thing that was really different about 50 Shades is, you're talking about trends in erotica.
Yeah.
But 50 Shades came out and hit a mainstream public, mm-hmm. of people who might never have wandered down the erotica aisle, might never have downloaded it, mm-hmm. who didn't see themselves as erotica readers. And I think that 50 Shades may do for erotica what Harry Potter did for fantasy, where it captures an audience that never saw themselves reading the genre, who said, wow, I kind of like this, what else is out there? And then they find a whole new area of reading.
But Harry Potter was written well.
Look, you can't look at how it was written. You just, right. I mean, it's, we just need to like edit that out of the equation.
Yeah, that's not really the
topic. It's not really the topic.
It's kind of like Twilight. You know, yeah, it wasn't written real well, but if it brings more people into the genre, well, it
right.
brings more people into the
genre.
I agree
with you there.
I'm hesitant to say that more people reading the genre is necessarily a good thing when it's done so poorly and irresponsibly.
That's kind of the thing. You had a big
That wasn't the question I heard. Maybe I misunderstood him, actually, was how it affected us. Mm-hmm. Well, I taught school for many years, and I taught students who would never have admitted reading any kind of romance or anything like that. But suddenly they were asking me questions. Ms. Barfield, have you read, 50 Shades? I said, no, I've read many books like that before. Have you read it? Somebody read it, and I said, read it. And yet they're reading these books, people who said, I don't read. Who said, I don't read fiction. Who said, I don't read romance. They're reading it. Now, I don't like poorly written books, but many readers don't understand poorly written books the way we as writers do. If it's a good story, they'll read the book. Then they'll read other books like that. So I know that those of you who are into the lifestyle are concerned that it isn't presented in a proper manner or a correct manner. I don't think that that is going to hurt us. It's simply going to make people want to read more books. So because it was banned, there were books that were banned in Boston many years ago, and everybody had to read them. So now people are willing to say, well, I actually found that interesting, so what else should I read? And I said, well, my books? Oh, wait, I don't have anything like that on them. But they read my books now, because now they're willing, if they're going to read those books, the romances don't look quite so bad. And I think it makes people read. Now, again, I don't know if it's well written or not, but people are reading books who weren't reading them before.
So do you think overall for the industry, as far as this particular piece of literature is concerned, that it did enhance us in terms of getting the readers out there to not just read our shit and read, you know, in a different genre, just to get them fucking reading?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
My hairdresser Absolutely. Started a conversation with me about 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah. Now, I've gone to her for 15 years. She knows I'm a professional author. She's never said more than a polite inquiry about my books, but she wanted to know what I thought of 50 Shades of Grey. And, that she has told me before, she doesn't read. She's a movie person. But she read it. Okay, anything that gets them to read is good.
I have to wonder, though, when we started the panel, I asked who read 50 Shades. Almost everybody in the room raised their hand. Then I asked who liked 50 Shades. I think three people raised their hand. So my concern is that, yes, a lot of people read 50 Shades, but because they didn't like it, whether because of how it was written or the information that it presented, is that going to turn them off from the genre rather than encourage them to look further and read more?
So what do you guys think, real quick, just show of hands? I mean, you guys who did not, who read the book and did not like it, are you still exploring other genres and reading it? Say yes, show of hands.
Is it clean enough?
I think for me, one of the interesting things that I've noticed is that it really has opened up conversations. And it's opened up the work that I do beyond writing really helps people engage in what they find pleasurable, finding pleasure in their body. And so for me, what this book has done is it's really helped people open up to what the possibilities could be. Not necessarily, I don't know that the people that I know are going home and going, oh, let's look at this and try it just like it says in the book, you know? But I do think that people are, they're more open to talking about pleasure and about their body and about what all that means, how it all fits together.
Yeah,
so you would go with the aspect of it from a different perspective, that even though the book itself has its controversies, that it has opened up a bit of a, because for you guys who don't know this, Stacey's a very sex positive person. And I guess my question is, well, totally, but because there's so much out there in erotica that's written, it's not necessarily sex positive. Are you suggesting the book itself had given us another excuse to look into exploring sex positive pleasures?
Yes, absolutely. I've been at cocktail parties with people that I have nothing in common with, except that we've read 50 Shades of Grey and we can kind of snicker about it, you know, but that's a connecting point. And I think that our sexuality is something that makes us human. And so I'm not saying that this is a Nobel Prize winning book by any stretch of the imagination, but it puts us, it for the people that have been cut off from their bodies, anything that's going to get you in touch with your body to me is a good thing. And then if it encourages you to explore other realms, I'm even more delighted.
I think people are going to experiment with erotic literature the same way they experiment with sex. And they're going to try it out in several different ways. So they may pick up a magazine off the newsstand, and God knows, you know, some of them are written worse than 50 Shades of Grey.
I don't know about that.
and so they go, oh, this is or this isn't for me. And then they pick up a book, and then they try a movie. They're going to experiment with things until they find the kind of a venue that they like, that speaks to them. And so 50 Shades of Grey is one more step in that experimentation.
Okay, so we've pretty much got it at this point that the book itself, love it or hate it, love the author or hate her, despite what she may or may not have done, has done an amazing thing for the authors in general, readers in general. What do you guys see as, and I know we're kind of playing speculation here, but what do you guys see as after the fact? After 50 Shades, what next? In not so much public, I guess, yeah, in publishing. Why not?
I have no idea. I never would have thought in a million years that this particular book would ever take off. So clearly my judgment skills on that level are lacking.
Man, I've been an editor for 15 years, and I wouldn't see this shit taking off, but what do you do?
I'm just saying, I don't think I'm qualified to present the theory.
You've been writing long enough, Jay.
No, I have no idea.
I think we're going to have an explosion of buttologies. this is the next big thing.
Okay, I think another concurrent trend here is we're seeing the sweep of legislation legalizing gay marriage and normalizing gay marriage. And I think we're going to see that sweep through everything. I think we're going to see more and more people who have never experimented with erotic literature that is male on male, that is female on female,
who may not have found it through anime, suddenly saying, you know, hey,
that too. What can I say?
You don't know, do you?
you know, who are going to try these things out because it feels a little safer for them now because it has been mainstreamed.
I was just going to say one minor point on my thing. Since I write comedy and 50 Shades came out, it has been fucking comic gold.
Oh, yes!
I have to pimp a buddy of mine's book, actually. On Twitter, I follow a guy named Andrew Schaefer. I don't know if you guys follow him or not. He used to write for Random House as a reviewer for the romantic literature thing. He wrote a book called 50 Shames of Earl Grey. Yeah, it's pretty sweet from what I've seen snippets of it. He also wrote the Sharknado Survival Guide.
When I was doing a signing at a Barnes & Noble, they had me parked next to an entire end cap, center aisle island of 50 Shades of Grey books that, you know, if you read 50 Shades, here's what you might like. And it was a rainy day, so I'm reading through this stuff, and there was the cookbook, 50 Shades of Chicken, and it had, you know how you tie the legs of a chicken together when you cook it? It had this browned chicken lying on its side provocatively with its wings and its legs tied together, 50 Shades of Chicken. I mean, I almost bought the thing just for the cover.
I don't know that I want chicken in 50 Shades.
Provocative chicken, yes. It was this.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
What do you think, because we're talking to an audience of authors and aspiring authors, published or non, before we do Q&A, what do you think our responsibility, especially those of you who may be in the lifestyle, is to the younger generation of authors who've read this and want to do this, but want to do it better because maybe they were dissatisfied with the book itself?
Know what research, you're talking about.
Research. Mm-hmm. And can I just say research?
Learn how to give a blowjob.
Oh!
Because there's a scene in the book that's impossible. Anatomically impossible.
Never use the term inner goddess.
Somebody did a whole Facebook meme of all her inner whatever, mm-hmm. inner goddess, inner gymnast, inner aerobics instructor, and it was all illustrated. And it was hysterical.
We have to be nice. We have to be politically correct. So.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Did anybody see the YouTube video of gay men reading passages?
Oh, that was so funny.
Yes.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
You
funny
too.
Is it just called Gay Men Reading That? Gay Men Reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking about you're talking about your comedy writer friend writing that 50 Shades.
Yeah, you next.
I had a friend of mine who wrote 50 Shades of Gay, a few months after, and it went to like number one or number two on Amazon, like right after Christmas mm-hmm. that year. Like he made bank on that, and they got like another book deal like right after.
Ours didn't do so well, Kiernan.
We did fine.
Of shade.
Yeah. We continue to do fine. I edited an anthology called 50 Gays of Shade. Sasha has a story in it. You don't have one in it, right?
No.
You didn't do one.
I didn't know about it.
It's done really well.
She called it a favorite. I ordered one anyway, so yeah.
You had more than one, but...
Paige and I weren't invited.
Yeah. Nope. It was an open invitation. Do not go there.
Okay, someone has a question right here in the brown shirt, and she's had the orange box for a really long time.
Oh, sorry. This was just a, I guess, a comment that actually echoes what Gail was saying about the trends. Because I really wanted to discuss this tonight. I hope you guys would discuss it, and you brought it up. I think the next trend is already happening, and it concerns like not only male erotica, but the confluence of publishers actually actively going after fan fiction now. So you have like this confluence of like original slash or original fiction. We in fandom terms we call male fiction original slash. We just do. and like you have Dream Center and Torquay and Less Than Three and all these publishers with like fandom roots, and then you have publishers going after Wattpad, and this like it's like 50 Shades helped people discover, helped publishing discover that fanfiction exists and that it's marketable.
Well, I think a lot of editors, or at least some editors, were already prowling some of the fanfic sites to see who was writing publishable work and who was getting lots and lots of downloads. You get a million downloads on something and it's publishable, somebody's probably going to offer you a contract because you've already got an audience and you've already got a platform.
That doesn't mean it's right. Mm-hmm.
I
came out of fan fiction, okay?
And many writers have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to write for Lord of the Rings fan fiction.
I'm just commenting on the trend. I make no judgment whatsoever as a fan fiction.
You know, I would never take one of my LOTR stories and try and just change the names and sell it. Because to me, like I said, you know, she stood on the Stephanie Meyer's shoulders. If it's an original story, and you're, because I know there are original stories on fanfic sites like Adult Fan Fiction has its own,
AFF has its
own category for original fiction. That's one thing, you know. But to say, you know, I wrote a Harry Potter fanfiction and I'm going to change the names and make it, you know, a boy wizard.
Well, I think filing off the serial numbers is different. But I'm just commenting on the trend. Like you can see, like Captive Prince getting a publishing contract, the number of downloads. My point is just that, like, for, like, if you consider that publishing has been going after fan fiction for years, tacitly under the table, whatever, I think that they're doing it more actively and more publicly now since 50 Shades of Grey, and that's just happening. But I think that there's been a wall between het fan fiction and flash fiction that is broken down. I think that's going to be the next wall to get broken down.
Well, that's a good question for that, actually, because as far as I've been concerned, I think, minus maybe Gail, I've got the most experience in the industry. I've got 15 years. Yeah. So a couple of years ago, my agents told me that the big three huge things, particularly in romance publishing, were alpha male, female submissive, paranormal, and male-male, and they didn't give me the stats as to which is, you know, on top, but I've always known that male-male is a huge trend, and even when it began picking up a couple years ago because of the Kindle thing, it was going to be huge. I guess I would ask the question to you guys, you know, did that help it, or did the male-male genre even need it?
No.
I'm not sure it needed it, quite frankly.
I think it was building quite well on its own. Not that it isn't enjoying the bump in popularity as it's become more well known, but I don't think that it was actually necessary as such. I also don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing or a good thing. It's a thing.
About 10 years ago, I was at a romance conference, a fairly small one, and I discovered that there were more editors there who were editing male-male romance. At RWA National, there was a comment about one of the largest trends in erotica was not female-female, not any of those other things, but it's male-male, and that's at least 10 years ago. So it's not, you know, it's not new, but I don't know if 50 Shades affected it in any way.
I think that, once again, there are people who are genre readers, and they gravitate toward what they like, and they know how to find what they like. And then there are the people who may read just a couple books a year, and who aren't plugged in to what's out there. One of the things I think that 50 Shades has done is given them the, and I don't want this to come off wrong, but the cover of legitimacy. Oh, well, it was a bestseller, so it's okay to read this stuff. If my neighbors call me on it, if my mother calls me on it, you know, hey, it's a bestseller, I can read this. Mm-hmm. You know, it was at the front of the bookstore, not in the back end or something. And I think that empowers people to go look for more of the same, because it's okay, because it's now mainstream, for the people who lacked the courage to look for it when it was genre.
You have a lot of people who don't want to be seen reading something that a romance reader would read, and that they're not going to be seen carrying a romance book. But what 50 Shades did was, by breaking that barrier and being so popular in the mainstream, it made it more okay to be seen reading one of these little books that had been called yeah, exactly. So it legitimized the okay, racy romance and made it okay.
I'm drinking and they're not.
So you have a lot of people who up until 50 Shades would not be seen reading a romance that might now read it. And another thing that has impacted that is the fact that you've got e-readers and nobody can see your cover. So they can't see the clinch and they don't know that you're reading a romance. And that, you know, that really was a biggie.
Which is so much fun to do.
Yeah, and honestly, because being a male who writes romance and who reads it, I've admitted before in this spot and in numerous times in past panels that I'm actually a huge Harlequin junkie, and quite frankly, I don't give a fuck if you question my masculinity because I read Harlequin books, but I do read romance and I'm very proud of that fact. Not everyone can have the same bravado and swagger that I can, thankfully. So for those of you who are like reading not so much 50 Shades, but you got into erotica or romance and you find some authors you really love because, let's face it, they're storytellers. Mm-hmm. And they get into you with characterization that just drives you. J.R. Ward fans. Woo! Any Warden fans here? Yeah, I thought there'd be a couple. Her head hopping drives me nuts, but I flip through the books, I sit and smoke cigars reading these damn books because I'm addicted to them. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, go for it. Rocket.
Back when I was in college, I was trying to get my mother interested in Anne Rice, the whole Interview with the Vampire series. And a friend of mine said, have you ever read the Sleeping Beauty trilogy that Anne Rice has read? I said, no, I haven't. So I went out to Borders, bought the book, took it home, said, Mom, I think you might enjoy this. She came in about 15 minutes later, and she said, have you read this?
No.
She says, open it to a page. Any page. So I did. She went out and bought the next two books.
And he was in the corner for a while. Trying to ignore the idea of his mommy reading that.
Can we just touch on mommy porn for a minute and how much that incenses me?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, why not?
Such a crappy term.
I was just
going to
say that. It is. It's like the minute that women...
Wait. I have to disclaim because I can't because I did it last year. You guys feel free to be as verbatim and as blunt as you want to be. So, mommy porn.
I was just going to say, you know, that the minute women feel empowered enough to start reading erotica, that, you know, somebody has to denigrate it. They have to say, oh, it's mommy porn. Like, mm-hmm. It's, you know, I hate that.
As somebody who's got three children and went through the whole... There aren't enough hours in the day. I haven't had any sleep. I'm still working full time. Anything that is a pleasurable interlude, and certainly anything that makes you feel sexy and empowered and interested again when all the equipment is being used for other purposes besides titillation and you're too dead tired, hey, if it wakes you up and puts you in the mood, go for it.
I know. I just hate the fact that they have to belittle it by saying, "Oh, it's, yeah, you know, it's mommy porn." It's
why should mommies be having a great time, you know, too?
It should be something that's great, but it's not. It's said as something less than.
Right. That's part of the thing too. That's sort of part of the whole inequality between the sexes, because, you know, nobody is saying, "Oh, this is daddy porn. This is grandpa porn." Somebody says grandpa porn. What do you expect? Either
creepy
old
shit.
Men getting it on, or people getting it on with really old women, right?
Thank you for that.
Then they're you're welcome. You get the cookware.
That's why I brought her on.
But you know, then they're like, "Oh, it's mommy porn," and somehow saying something is in any way related to mothers. To the act of a female parent.
How do you think we became mothers?
Right. You know, it's said in a way.
Oh, no.
We have MILFs.
It's supposed to make it an insult. And mm-hmm. I know I was going somewhere with this.
No, you pretty much hit your point with the fact that it's bullshit to call it a certain thing and denigrate because Karen is to begin with. Because it is. Because people will talk about romance novels, just generic romance novels, not even the fucking shit that Arf Bynum authors write, but the basic generic Harlequin stuff that's boy falls in love with the girl, blah, 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 and they'll denigrate it and call it something else. And if I were to be caught reading one, my masculinity is put in check or in question.
When are you going to write a real book?
I'm pretty sure that's not because of what you're writing.
Comment about labels.
It probably is.
Really, don't think the hair and the kilt has anything to do with it?
I'm blowing cigar smoke and drinking scotch in front of them, so probably
okay.
not.
Okay. A comment about labels.
Yeah.
Romance novels are still called bodice rippers. Do you know how long ago, how long it's been since any romance novel actually had a bodice ripped? Do I really care? No. You read it, I don't care. I wrote this book thinking it was romantic suspense or romantic thriller.
And it is.
He called it erotic romance, but guess what? I don't care. Call it what you want to. Call it porn. Well, not porn, but call it.
it's so not porn. It's good, but it's.
People would be disappointed if you called it porn. They would be totally disappointed. But labels bother us way too much. Romance writers spent so many hours and hours and hours bemoaning that we were, people call those books bodice rippers and soft porn and. Who cares?
I love you, Mary.
In our cases, it's codpiece ripper.
You buy my book, codpiece if you want to.
In my particular case, it's definitely not soft porn.
No. We have about 5 minutes. Just to let you know.
Okay. Let's do...
More like 10.
Who has the box?
More like 10.
We have more like 20.
More like 10.
It's 10, 11 o'clock right here. It's 10:40.
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to wrap up at 10 hours.
Don't listen to me. When have I ever told you to listen to me?
Scott, where's your call?
One last.
10 minutes or 15.
I do have to be out of here a little early, so let's wrap that at 5 till 11.
Okay, so...
All right. So one last. Ask us anything.
She has something to say.
One last smart-ass comment. When one of my critique partners informed me that you couldn't have sex in the front seat... the driver's seat of a 64.5 Mustang. I said, yes, you can.
Not very comfortable.
You said Corvette.
No, it was a Mustang.
It was Mustang, my Mustang. Well, I'm sorry. And she said,
Research! The Mustang is still in her garage.
And she says, oh, no, you really can't because my husband couldn't lift me over the console and into the front seat. I said, really? She said, and I'm not very big and he's very strong. I said, you didn't help him? She said, and you'd have to push the seat back. And I said, okay, if you have to tell him to push the seat back, he isn't smart enough to have sex with you in a Mustang. But it can be done. So I learned that my critique partners were trying my sex scenes with their husbands. Just saying.
She's not wrong, Bugs. Who else? So, Box goes to...
Do you have some sex
with questions from anybody?
I was going to have a question. That's why I have the box.
Well, go for it, Jack.
Thank you. In regards to upcoming trends, or at least vaguely predictable trends, and empowerment, it's kind of a twofold question. With the advancements of Magic Mike and the new 50 Shades of Grey film coming out, yes, we all have that, that reaction. Would any of you, as published authors, feel that this is your opportunity to do some sort of
parody?
No, well, certainly that. Certainly that. But when you, when McDonald's has a toy that's related to franchise,
a promotion?
Tie-in. Thank you. Would you think there'd be any opportunities for that to say, like, okay, you saw Magic Mike, this is the book from Magic Mike, go buy this dildo from Magic Mike?
I don't like this term rape because there's a negative connotations, but to be honest with you, when 50 Shades came out and got to be huge, I raped the SEO purpose for that whole thing. For those who don't know, it's search engine optimization. So my blog, when I began tagging with that bullshit title and stuff, my stats went way up. I had buddies come in who tagged because I did a post on the book, 50 books better than 50 Shades of Grey, and they all jumped in and threw on their list as well, and the stats on the blog went up, and I did make an increase in sales. No tie-ins with the rest of you?
I didn't understand how that was related to what she said.
I think it's some kind of Happy Meal for Magic Mike.
Okay, so one of the things...
Sure. Oh,
okay. One of the things.
I just heard Magic Mike and zoned out because that's what you got.
Yeah. Okay, one sorry. Such as if you had an opportunity to write a book, your publisher, or excuse me, your editor, I don't know how publishing works, but your boss said, I want you to write a book, and I want you to specifically mention this dildo, this vibrator,
oh,
this
hell no.
toy.
Product placement?
Yes. Product placement.
No.
But you wouldn't see that as like an empowerment issue?
Oh, absolutely not. No, it is not empowering to me.
That's a capitalistic, my publisher's selling my ass on the street corner for minor ducats kind of feeling.
Yeah. I do.
Paid, it's that sort of issue.
I do mention.
And I promise you, the publisher will be making the money, not me.
Once in a while, I will mention a product or a company or something that's recognizable because I feel it helps ground the reader, you know, in a particular place or time.
And it's relevant.
And it's always it's always given credit then in the book, you know, in the part of the book that I don't
acknowledgement.
Write. Thank you. you know, for who, you know, if I mention McDonald's or whatever, or Starbucks, I'm big on mentioning Starbucks.
The following trademarks are registered to such and such.
Right. But I don't think I would ever purposely write a story around
or even
something
include.
That ties in with a popular.
I think
no,
one
no.
of
this is writing, it's not television.
I think there are a couple. I think there are a couple things that occur to me on this. One is, one trend that I think things like 50 Shades of Grey, Magic Mike, and a number of those other things have enabled is the, again, mainstreaming and legitimization of novelty stores. You know, stores like Adam and Eve. Those were used to be the kind of seedy place that women didn't go into, that were triple X by a truck stop, and they were kind of scary. And that was the only place people were going to find toys, novelties, things like that. Now, you see Adam and Eve stores all over. They're upscale. There are consultants who meet you at the door or in business suits who talk to you about what are you looking for and guide you through the product selections, which again makes that suburban person much more comfortable if they're a little out of their element. Because it normalizes it and it makes it safe. I think the other thing you're talking about is suppose there were a manufacturer of dildos or something else who wanted to do a fiction series based on their book. Well, they certainly could.
That they certainly could.
And
sure.
That's a completely different thing, from a publisher that you already work with coming to you and saying, hey, I need you to include, you know, the Blue Devil Tickler in this story.
Mm-hmm. Where if the Blue Devil Tickler people said, we're going to do a whole series of books where people use it, and then you're going to read these books, and you're going to want to run out and buy six,
that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, and that gets into a number of other questions that we don't have time for, unfortunately, about ethics as far as that's concerned, about how you're structuring this in terms of if I, the publisher, say, TC, write me this book and here and put this and so forth. That we can't discuss tonight just because of time constraints, but it is a very valid question to think about.
I do want to say real quickly, though, I remember 25 years ago going to the mall. I grew up in Bethesda, Maryland, and Potomac, Maryland. I remember going to the mall and Spencer Gifts having a giant section full of sex toys and fuzzy handcuffs and sex
games.
And all sorts of
they
still paraphernalia
do.
In the middle of pricey suburbia.
Yes.
So,
and used to go in and giggle.
I still do. Yeah. Final thoughts, starting with MJ and going this way.
But you're right, it was not anywhere near as prevalent then as it is now.
Right. Spencer Gifts was the only place other than
now
those
they're
kind
gone.
Of scary places.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm sorry. Please. Resume.
I think that we can cut down 50 Shades all we want to, but we all owe it a debt of gratitude for opening the doors to a lot of readers that would not have read the books that we write under any other circumstances. And now they've been exposed to them, and once you're exposed, you can't turn away from them.
The
you can't resist them. So they opened the door, and now we're in.
It may or may not be like the train wreck that you can't not look at as you pass it, but you can't look. You can't not look, can you? So, you know, people are reading books because people discussed a book that many of us feel is not well written. But let's look at certain other authors. Who was the dude that wrote the, Dan Smith wrote, my mind just went dead. We're talking about sex, and now there goes the brain. But there were books that people have written that became very popular, and authors said, oh, that's very poorly written. And somebody was going to the bank and was probably not the least bit insulted by the money he was making.
Stephanie Myers?
No.
Oh, okay.
Twilight was much better written than 50 Shades.
I'm sorry.
I don't write. I'm not saying it was great lit, but it was definitely better than 50 Shades.
I think what 50 Shades has done for me is it actually has brought me a community of women that I write with. That was the inspiration for the critique group that I'm in now. And so for me, 50 Shades has actually, you know, it's helped me pursue this work. So I appreciate it for that, you know, for that reason. Do I want to go watch the movie? No. Am I thrilled that I read the books? I read the books. You know, but I can say that I've seen it open up conversations, and that's so, to me, that's just so rich, and I can appreciate it for that.
I think it got some people to read who hadn't read, and it exposed some people to the genre and some possibilities that they hadn't considered from a reading standpoint, let alone a lifestyle standpoint, and anything that gets people to think outside the box is a good thing.
I dislike its roots. I dislike the fact that publishers who decided to publish a book like 50 Shades chose that particular book, because I don't think it shows the rest of us in a very good light. I'm afraid that people are going to say, oh, anybody who's self-published or anybody who's, you know, indie published, they must be very poor writers.
They already say,
you know,
that.
I know, but this is going to make them say it even more. But I am glad that they're, like you said, that they have now opened up a discussion where they've made it. That wasn't me, I swear. They've made it.
Stop
playing with your box.
Bunch of gay writers. That
they have opened up a conversation, that they've made it more acceptable to talk about this stuff.
I just want to clarify real quickly. I don't hate, what's her name, E.L. James?
No.
E.R. James?
E.L. James.
Okay. I don't hate her. No. I don't hate her books. I just, my issue is purely from the research standpoint, because I know people who do live that lifestyle, and I think that it was also very poorly represented, and in such a way that somebody is going to mess up and get hurt or get dead, and it's not going to come back on the author or the publisher. It's going to come down on the entirety of the BDSM community. That is my sole issue with 50 Shades. You know, like the way it's written, don't like the way it's written, whatever, like that it was fanfic, don't like that it was fanfic. I don't care about that aspect of it. If you read the book and you enjoyed the book, great, I'm happy for you. And yes, it has opened doors within the publishing industry as a whole. It's just, this is my particular issue with it. So, I apologize.
I'll make it quick. It inspired me.
Oh, Lord.
I was just finishing the anthology story for the Christmas anthology coming up.
Oh, God.
Okay. I have horny elves at the North Pole fucking everything in sight, and I have to be reading something? 50 Shades of Elf.
So if you get the Christmas story, we all mention it in every one of the stories. We'll have 50 Shades of Elf somewhere.
Dropping Elfhood.
Dropping Elfhood.
Oh, I haven't worked.
And make jingles.
Question behind you, Scott, if we have time.
This may be opening a can of worms, but there was recently, like in the last week, a research released. Where the survey, the researchers studied women who liked 50 Shades of Grey and found that the women who liked 50 Shades of Grey and approved of the way that the BDSM and the relationships were portrayed were at higher risk of being involved in domestic abuse and domestic violence situations.
That does not surprise me, even a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just wondered if you guys could comment on that, because you sort of hinted at it earlier.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were saying, why it's so important to do research, and she
did.
And
the whole tone of those books, the way that so much of it is portrayed is indicative of abusive relationships.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't find it at all surprising that, yeah.
Yeah, she totally made it seem like BDSM is something to be cured.
Mm-hmm. I read
that in itself.
Would that be good for numerous reasons because of what the community itself does and the reality of it in question, in addition to the things that they've mentioned up here as well? Scott, we got time for the last one that she pointed out, or do you want to?
I'm pretty loud as it is. I am in the BDSM community, and I did like the book, and I am in no way in any form of abusive relationship whatsoever. Like, that is I find that even the fact that they would try to make a study like that completely appalling.
Well, but I mean, the study does not speak specifically to you personally.
Because you're in the community, so you know what goes on.
No study is ever going to say...
I wasn't before I read the book.
But no study is ever going to say, everybody who reads this and likes this is like this. You know, it's
right.
What the purpose of that is it's presenting, you know, this is what we looked into because we were curious, and this is what we found out. X percentage of these people are like this, and X percentage of these people skew this way. And, you know, that's perfectly valid from a scientific standpoint. That's how they do studies. You know, you're not looking for absolutes. You're looking for probabilities.
Statistics do not apply to the individual. Statistics
exactly.
apply to the population.
And as I'm sure we're all very smart adults, we also know statistics can be skewed in just about any way you really want
but
them
that's,
to.
But that's...
Depending on what kind of...
Well, and, yeah, it's a permanent approach, honestly. I mean, not to suggest that it's yours, but a lot of folks have that in... If I go up with statistics for a certain thing... I'm not trying to be, to skew them. I mean, I want a certain look, but you got to put the integrity of the thing.
I'm not sure if I agree with a statistic that may say that women, the preponderance of women who enjoy Fifty Shades are more open to an abusive relationship. What I would say is that perhaps a lot of women who have read Fifty Shades who do not understand the community may be... Mm-hmm. They put themselves into a situation of domestic abuse because they may believe what they've read is okay. You know, that's the way it should be. And that I can understand. That's just me. Brought the whole room down.
Well, it happens. Okay. Well, actually, I'm getting the sign from Scott to wrap it up, so I guess I'm going to go ahead and do that. First of all, I want you guys, as the audience, to give a round of applause, large, loud! Second round of applause, my man Scott and the EFF track.
There he is.
My man here for dropping from my mess.
Thank you. And lastly, I want to hear this room erupt with a thank you for you guys for coming at 10 p.m. on a Friday night at Dragon Con. Give yourselves a fucking huge round. Awesome.
And for Sasha, our moderator.
Yes.
Thank you for doing a good job.